Christmas Day would never come. But it's here at last, so Mom and Dad.
Our gospel text this morning is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me as we share it together. And we invite you then to stand for the reading of the gospel. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
And as you're seated, will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to be together as your people on this holy day. And we pray, God, that you would open our hearts and open our minds and open our spirits to hear you speak a new and fresh word to us. All of this we ask in the name of the baby lying in the manger, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do you remember what Christmas morning was like when you were a kid? Or maybe you remember it was like when you had little kids? I mean, I remember those days. We were just talking about it recently, of coming home from, in the last church I served, we had an 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service, and I lived a half hour from the church. So the service got over at midnight. I had a half hour drive down the Garden State Parkway to my house, 12:30, quarter to one. And then my children were young enough, it was assembly time. And back in those days, there's no such thing as some assembly required. It's a lot of assembly required. And one I especially remember is a Rescue Heroes aircraft carrier. It was like this big. And it took, well, you start at 1 in the morning, it feels like forever to put that thing together so that it's ready for Christmas morning. Today I want to talk to you about gifts and the gifts that we receive and the gifts that Jesus receives. And I wanted to share with you a song. And the song is by Rich Mullins. It's called "You Gotta Get Up." Rich Mullins is a Christian artist who wrote "Awesome God." So you know Rich Mullins' music. But he wrote this song called "You Gotta Get Up." It's Christmas morning. And I was really pleased when I went online to find a video for it that I found this video that some other church put together. So let's share that this morning.
I thought Christmas Day would never come, but it's here at last. So Mom and Dad, the waiting's finally done, and you gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up. It's Christmas morning. Last night I heard reindeers on my roof. Oh, you may think I'm exaggerating, but I swear I'm telling you the truth. And you gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up. It's Christmas morning. Did my sister get a baby doll? Did my brother get his bike? Did I get that red wagon, the kind that makes you fly? Oh, I hope there'll be peace on earth. I know there's goodwill toward men on account of that baby born in Bethlehem. Did my brother get his bike? Did I get that red wagon, the kind that makes you fly? Oh, I hope there'll be peace. peace on earth. I know there's goodwill toward men on account of that baby born in Bethlehem. Mom and Daddy stayed up too late last night. Oh, I guess they got carried away in the Christmas candlelight. And you gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up. It's Christmas morning. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up.
Somewhere in my parents' attic, there is a box with movies just like those old 8mm movies, and there's a projector that's probably worth money because it's so old, and a screen. And I remember those days when we used to always beg. It was around Christmas time that my brother and I would beg to see the movies of the old Christmases, and we would get together around the projector in the living room and watch. And for those of you that are too young, there's no sound in 8mm movies. You just watch. There's nothing to listen to but the clicking of the projector. But it was that opportunity that we had to just remember the gifts that we had been given. I particularly like this song too. I don't know if you miss it as you're watching the movies, but the lyrics are so great, where he talks about it's a child narrator who is saying to his or her parents, you gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up. It's Christmas morning. And one of my great memories of Christmas is my brother and I, who are 16 months apart. He's younger than I am. And we had bunk beds in our room. And we would wake up and kind of whisper to one another, bargaining who was going to be the first to ask if we could get up on Christmas morning. And so we had this conversation going back and forth, and we would call out. And the primary reason why we had to ask is so that my dad could get into the living room with the camera and the blinding light, so that we could be on the movies for the next year, that we could gather around sometime in December and watch last year's Christmas and see the movies of what had happened. Yes, Christmas is a time for gifts. And so it's just this wonderful, beautiful narration that this child gives. Did my sister get the baby doll? Did my brother get his bike? Did I get the red wagon, the kind that makes you fly? Remember those days when sneakers made you run faster and jump higher and wagons could fly? He wants to know what he's received. And then the chorus shifts just a little bit. He says, oh, I hope there'll be peace on earth, and I know there's goodwill toward men on account of that baby born in Bethlehem. And the gift of the wagon seems to remind him of the real gift of Christmas. It's not about the nicely wrapped presents under the tree, but the real gift that we receive is, in the words of the song, that baby born in Bethlehem. Oftentimes I have kids come up to me in church and ask, it's Jesus' birthday, why do we get the presents? It's a very good question. It's Jesus' birthday, why do we get the presents? My answer usually is, well, because it's the wise men gave Jesus presents. We too give one another presents, kind of remembering that. And then I wonder with them as if it for the first time. Do you think that's why we get presents on our birthdays too? Because it's Jesus' birthday and we remember that the wise men brought gifts. Have you ever looked at those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh? They seem awfully odd gifts to give a baby. I think they have real significance. And if you'll go with me just a little bit, back when we used to do the 5 p.m. Sunday night service, there was always on the fourth Sunday of Advent, the music thing like we did this year. You know, we'd get all the choirs together and do the music event. And so my Advent series was only 3 Sundays long. Nobody writes 3 Sunday Advent series. They're 4. And so I developed one. I thought, 3, what's 3 at Christmas? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I looked at those three gifts, and I was surprised to find that all three of those gifts appear in the same chapter of the Old Testament book of Exodus. And since looking at them that way, they've taken on new meaning for me. Now, I want to warn you, this is Joe's exegesis, which is not scholarly in any way. This is me out on a limb. I haven't read this anywhere else, so take it from where it comes, an amateur working this. But when you go to Exodus 30, you find that in the first 10 verses of Exodus 30, Moses is being given these instructions for building the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a tent. It was just a big tent where the dwelling place of God was thought to be. And the Israelites at this time are nomadic people. And so they make it as a tent, and everything has portability to it. You know, there's rings that you can put rods in so you can carry things. And everything is there to be able to be moved from place to place. And they believed, as we believe, that when they came into the tabernacle, like we come into our sanctuary, that this is a place where we've expected God to show up. And so when they set up the tabernacle, it was a sign of the presence of God with them, and that God showed up in that place. And it was where God met and spoke with Moses. In fact, they called it the tent of meeting. It was a place where Moses and God would meet. Well, in the first 10 verses of that chapter, Exodus 30, the people are given instructions for building what's called the altar of incense. And it's made out of acacia wood overladen with gold. This altar of incense is gold. And it's placed right at the doorway to the tent of meeting. It's kind of that avenue, that entrance that Moses would pass through in order to get to God. Later, a couple of verses later, beginning with verse 22, the people receive a recipe for anointing oil. And I just want you to hear this. Take the finest spices, Exodus 30 reads, of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet-smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, measured by the sanctuary shekel. This is very specific. A hin of olive oil, and you should make these a sacred anointing oil, blended as by the perfumer. It shall be holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, and the ark of the covenant, and the table, and all the utensils, and the lampstands, and its burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they may be most holy, and whatever touches them will become holy. And then we read this: you shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them in order that they may serve me as priests. Primary ingredient for that anointing oil was myrrh. It's the first one mentioned. Skip down a few more verses in Exodus 30, and you come to verse 34. And you learn of another, this altar of incense is built, so we need incense to burn on the altar of incense. And sure enough, there's a recipe for the incense. Take sweet spices. I don't know how to say stacte and onycha and galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense, an even part of each. And make an incense blended as you by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy, and you shall beat some of it into a powder and put part of it before the covenant in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you. It shall be for you most holy. So you have a golden table right at the door of the tent of meeting. You have incense that you put on top of that table whose primary ingredient is frankincense. And you have the anointing oil, whose primary ingredient is myrrh. Now, Matthew, being a good Jewish writer, probably had, well, I'm sure he had all of Exodus memorized. And he would have known those three things come together like that. He also probably knew that his writers, or his readers who were Jewish, would have known that as well. And I wonder if that's intentional, that he brings up these three gifts, because they have something in common. They're all about this doorway to God. that there's this sense that this is the what's to be placed right before God, and through those doors you can meet with God. And not to mention the fact that the word Messiah simply means anointed one. The word Christ in Greek or Messiah in Hebrew in English is anointed one. And so you have the myrrh, the anointing oil that is given, declaring Jesus as the anointed one, the Messiah. And I'm always intrigued by who brings them. Who brings these gifts that say this is God in the presence, in the flesh? This is the anointed one, the Messiah. But guys from another country and another religion who just followed a star to get there. Who declare who Jesus is as Messiah and Lord. The gift of that baby in the manger. I've always struggled to kind of communicate what this gift means to us. I mean, when we think babies, we often focus on cuteness. Hey, babies are cute. Well, when you're a grandparent, they're cute. When you're a parent, they're a lot of work. Babies are hard. Birth is messy, painful. They're screaming and crying, and father's passing out. It's not this pure, clean, wonderful thing that we often think of. And then we remark that this baby is not just a baby. This baby is God. You know, we picture Mary and Joseph just staring at the child. But there's diapers to change. There's a baby that needs to be nursed. There's work to be done with having a child. It's hard to imagine that the creator of the universe came in such a way that he can't even hold his own head up yet. Yet he's the one who made heaven and earth. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Just this week, one of my favorite authors, Donald Miller, a guy who wrote Blue Like Jazz, posted on his blog, and the title of the post was Changing God's Diapers. And he writes this: I can't think of a better way for God to enter the world than as an infant. He became one of his creation for the sake of his creation. For a period in world history, human beings changed the diapers of God. He nursed at his creation's breast. How disarming of him. What a fantastic way to build a bridge between an infinite God and a finite humanity. He depended on us for food and shelter and even life. He gave up power and control in an effort to love and rescue. Merry Christmas indeed, Don. This baby is not just a gift from God. This baby is the gift of God, given directly to us who don't deserve it. It's really remarkable. Sometimes we think we need to find our way to God, yet Christmas reminds us that God has found his way to us. The Christmas story tells us that God is right here in our messes, in our struggles, in our darkness. He was willing to come to you and to me as a baby. And so today, as you enjoy your Christmas gifts, as you eat your Christmas meal and celebrate with your family and friends, may you be reminded that today what we celebrate is the gift of God right here with us. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for Christmas. And sometimes we can get frustrated with the commercialization and so caught up in the gift giving and the hassles and the struggle. And yet today, God, we recognize that the greatest gift given is the gift that you gave us, the gift of your very self. As the wise men gave gifts that declared who you are in our world today, so too we pray, O God, that you would use us, that we might give you the gift of our service in the world around us. All of this we ask in the name of that baby, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
I thought Christmas Day would never come, but it's here at last, so Mom and Dad, the way